Well, we're coming to the Word of God. We have been looking at the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, and the Beatitudes are the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. We are on verse 6, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, we've begun to understand with the Beatitudes that each one is a foundation for the next one. They are not independent. They are not standing on their own. They are dependent and interlinked with one another. And we saw one of the analogies that the Puritans gave was they like threads of a fabric that are woven together. And when they are woven together, they form the cloak of righteousness, the beauty of a garment. And it's not one. You either have them all or you have nothing. You can't leave out any of them. They are dependent on one another. And the other analogy that we saw was it's like a ladder going to heaven. Jacob's ladder that starts at the ground and goes up. And we saw that the rungs on the ladder are compared to the Beatitudes. The first Beatitude is, blessed are the poor in spirit, which is very low to the ground. And anyone can get their foot on that rung. God in his grace didn't make it high and unreachable. He made it reachable to all men. And so when we see how poor we are in spirit, how bankrupt we are, how empty we are, we come to the next one. We mourn over our sin, over that condition. And the godly sorrow, that mourning, produces repentance, which leads to salvation. And salvation is never, never to be regretted. And the comfort that comes, oh, such comfort that comes when we know that we're forgiven, that our sins are washed away. And this poverty of spirit, this seeing what the Lord has done for us, it causes meekness before God. We stand in awe. We say, oh Lord, so much you've done. Me, so undeserving. And we are meek. We don't question God. We don't argue with his word. We come in humble submission. The meek trust in the Lord. The meek dwell in the land and they feed on his faithfulness. So this foundation now brings us to the fourth beatitude, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We've realized that sin had ruined our lives, had robbed us of what is most valuable, and a great treasure has been taken from us. And that treasure is relationship with God. What is more precious than relationship with God? We realize that sin is the thing that destroys that relationship, that brings separation and makes us unrighteous. So we begin to hunger for righteousness. We long for righteousness. And this is the only way that we can enter God's presence. We know this is the only answer, righteousness with God. We realize that unrighteousness cannot dwell with him. We realize that if we are unrighteous, we will not be given entrance. We see this in God's word. The righteous also shall hold his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. So the righteous has clean hands, and those that have clean hands, they wax stronger and stronger. And this is righteousness is such a valuable treasure. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Oh, the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. Not only does he hear them, but he delivers the righteous from all their troubles. Oh, to be righteous is to be heard and to be delivered. So we begin now at this point, having seen it, having that foundation, we begin to hunger and we thirst after righteousness. Not my own righteousness. You know, the Bible speaks of our own righteousness is at its very best as filthy rags before the Lord. Just contaminated cloths before the Lord. So I don't long for my righteousness. I have no righteousness. I long for a righteousness from above. I long for his righteousness, a righteousness that's given, freely given, imputed, a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. I see and I value this righteousness and I hunger for it. I desire it. I thirst for it. So here are two strong forces, the strongest forces known to man, hunger and thirst. And both of those forces combined, I hunger and I thirst, a twofold action for righteousness. There's two kinds of righteousness. There's the imputed righteousness, which God gives us. The blessed man desires to gain this righteousness in Christ. And this imputed righteousness is not only God giving us his righteousness, but it's a double imputation. Our sins are imputed to him. He takes our sins on the cross. And in place, he imputes, he gives to us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are made righteous in Christ. And this means, this is so important, this means that when heaven looks upon a sinner who is made righteous by the work of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, he doesn't see that sinner's awfulness. Heaven rather sees a righteous and a perfect person hid in Christ Jesus. The blessed man or woman hungers for this imputed righteousness which Christ alone gives. The old writers used to put it this way. They used to say the weakest believer, because sometimes we think only, you know, the really good believers can have this kind of righteousness. But the old writers make it very clear, and indeed the scripture makes it very clear, that the weakest believer is as much justified as the strongest. So the weakest believer is no more, or the strongest believer is no more justified than the weakest. Why? Because Christ's righteousness is imputed to both the strong and the weak. And we rely upon his righteousness, not our own righteousness. So both of them stand clothed in Christ Jesus. They accepted, not because of what they have done. They are accepted because what Christ has done. God's grace, that's God's grace. That's God's gift. We are reckoned righteous. But in addition to that, there is something which is called In addition to imputed righteousness, the blessed man also longs for what we call implanted righteousness. Well, there's some of us that know about planting. When you plant a seed, it roots and it grows and it brings forth fruit. And when we have implanted righteousness, there will be roots, there will be growth, there will be fruit, there will be evidence in our lives that we have a new heart, a new life, that we are new creations in Christ. No, we don't earn this implanted righteousness. We're not talking about earning salvation, earning acceptance. We are justified by imputed righteousness, not implanted righteousness. This growing righteousness, rather, this root in our life of righteousness, bringing forth fruit, is, however, evidence that there has been imputed righteousness, a practical righteousness that a believer longs for. We know that somebody is spiritually alive when they long and they hunger and they thirst for righteous living. Those that hunger and thirst for God's ways, for the fruit of the Spirit, they say, since I live by the Spirit, let me keep in step with the Spirit. They long to walk in God's ways. They long to be pleasing unto the Lord. No one truly hungers and thirsts for righteousness until they see their need and understand how they lack righteousness, understand the terrible consequence also for unrighteousness. And we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. So we see that unrighteous is a terrible condition. They will not receive the kingdom of God. They will not go to heaven. And we see the Lord gives a gracious invitation. We read it on the last day of that great feast. The Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. As we know, we have been taking much of the quotes and from the book of Thomas Watson. And Thomas Watson gives a good illustration. He says, suppose you invite a friend to come over to your house and eat and drink and have a meal. And at the end of the meal, your friend is about to say goodbye and you say, wait a minute, and you present him with a bill for what he has eaten. Something's wrong. Well, what is the price for us to eat? We are hungry, yes, we are thirsty. We want to come and eat and drink, but what's the price to do that? Well, we see it in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. So what is the price? All you have to do is bring your appetite, your hunger. That's what you add to the gospel, your hunger. Nothing else. Appetite. Appetite. But isn't it sad that even walking in the streets today, there are so many people. They have no hunger. They have no thirst for righteousness. Or think of a child. I know some of us have got young children, and you call them for supper, and they're playing games outside, and they just pretend not to hear. They don't come. They're not hungry. Or the game that they are playing has so absorbed their mind that they're not thinking of food. They're only thinking of the game. And you can call, the mother can call, and they ignore. They absorb with another interest. And this interest has blinded their hunger. And so they don't come inside. Now think about all of those who are invited to receive the gospel, which is a true feast, and they are too busy. They're absorbed with a game, maybe making money, maybe some pleasure. They absorb and they're playing games outside in the street, and they have no hunger for the things of God. But blessed are you who do hunger. Real hunger comes when you see your need for righteousness. When you begin to understand how much that it's only righteousness that can overcome sin. When we see that without righteousness, our lives are ruined. And it's only righteousness that will bring us favor and blessing with God. Only the righteous have their prayers answered. And we desire for, and we hunger, and we thirst for righteousness. Well, what does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? And we must consider the desire, the nature of this desire that the Lord is talking about. First of all, these words, hunger and thirst, are used to describe two very strong desires that men and women have. They are not casual or light feelings. They describe deep and urgent needs. Our bodies cannot continue without food. Our bodies cannot continue without water. And neither can our soul continue without righteousness. It's not just preference. Oh, I think I'll come to church on Sunday. It's better going to church than going to sit in Shandarana. No, it's not preference. It's a hunger. I'm coming to church because I'm hungry for the Word of God. I'm hungry to worship God. I'm hungry for fellowship. I must have it. I need it. I see the value of it. And there are many things that a man and a woman can do without, but food and water are not among them. We cannot do without food and water. If you're going to survive, you have to have food and water. And we need righteousness even more than we need food and water. It's more crucial, more important, because without righteousness, we will die spiritually. We won't even, you know, we wouldn't dream of saying, all right, I think next month I'm just going to go without food, without water, and I'll just continue my work. No, you couldn't do it. It's impossible. You would not last the month. We recognize that they're crucial. We recognize that righteousness is crucial. Righteousness is the very essence of spiritual life. We see the words hungering and thirsting are repeated throughout Scripture. Many Bible verses include those words hungering and thirsting. For example, in the psalm that we sang, David the psalmist declares, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Why is this deer panting? Why is it so desperate? Why is it so hot? One of the old writers says it had smoldering flanks and it was gasping for water. Well, it was because it was being chased and hunted by dogs. And another old writer says, by chasing serpents. Imagine serpents chasing it, trying to devour it. And it's run now, and it's got to safety, and it's just pining, gasping, saying, I need water. I want water. And when we hunger like this, with this kind of desperation, blessed are we. Blessed are we. It's not a casual thirst. We hunger seriously. We shall be filled. We pine for righteousness. We pine to be right with God. We pine to be right with men. We long to see righteousness rule in our lives, in our families, and in our nation. Don't you long to see righteousness rule even in our nation? Righteousness exalted the nation. The longing is so strong that both appetites are engaged, as I mentioned, hungering and thirsting, and they are focused on one passion, one desire, righteousness. And it is God who creates this hunger in us. He is the one that makes us hungry and gives us the desire for righteousness. And you can be sure that if He gives it, He will fulfill it and give us and fill us and answer us and satisfy us and saturate us. He will fill us to the brim. But it's not enough to just have a casual, passing interest. Such a person that has a casual, passing interest will never truly enter into the blessedness of the kingdom. Casual interest is not hunger. Casual interest is just shallow. Because why are they not hungry? Why are they not thirsty? Because of self-righteousness. They think they're good enough already. They think God already accepts them. Why should they hunger for more? They think they're good enough. But who is the blessed man? The one who realizes their own righteousness is useless. The one who realizes that they need God's righteousness. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Now, I want to bring out a point here. If you read through all of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, all of them say, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. The Beatitudes are in the present tense. A happiness that is to be enjoyed and delighted in now. They are for now. It is not you will be blessed one day. No, but you are blessed today. Blessed are you the moment you get born again? Blessed are you the moment you depart from this earth. And I was reading even this. Blessed even is a bruised reed. Blessed are the trees that are full of sap. Blessed are the cedars of Lebanon that the Lord has planted. Blessed is a baby in grace. Blessed is the baby in grace, and blessed is the perfect man in Christ. As long as the mercy of the Lord endures, our blessedness shall endure. Whether you're strong or weak, if you hunger, you shall be filled. It's wonderful that our Lord didn't say, blessed are you if you possess righteousness. Because none of us would be blessed. None of us would qualify to be blessed. because the scripture tells us in Romans 3 and verse 10 that there is none righteous. No, not one. And if we are honest, we realize that we're not righteous. We yearn and crave to be righteous, knowing that we know this. We know that nothing of this world can satisfy our hunger, that hunger which is awakened by grace. Our hunger is not for empty and shallow promises. It is not for what man promises. It is not to find pleasure upon this earth. But our hunger is for perfect righteousness. Let me make a comparison. We know that a starving, hungry man or woman, they need food. They need water. They are desperate for food and water. You can go to a starving man or woman and say, here is a bunch of flowers. You're not interested. You can say, listen to this new song, this new music on my headphones. They are not interested. You can say, listen to this wonderful story that I heard yesterday. They're not interested. They want food. They need food. That's all that will satisfy that hunger of a starving man. Now, for a Christian, for this, in the same way, the spiritually hungry, only perfect righteousness will satisfy. Nothing else will satisfy. The spiritually hungry says, give me Christ or I die. As long as the soul is Christless, the soul is restless. Are we hungering? Do we see these traits in our lives? But not only for us, for others. This double desiring of hungering and thirsting, not only for ourselves, but for others. Do we long for the unrighteous to become righteous? You see, it's not only, we don't only have a longing for ourselves, we have a longing for the people around us. Oh Lord, save those neighbors of mine, save those children of mine, save my parents. It's a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness. Are we hungering and thirsting for ourselves to become more like Christ? Are we hungering and thirsting for people to be converted and to be saved? If somebody is really hungering, they don't shrink back from obstacles and hardships. They press on with determination. Just as a man who is hungry, he will work hard to earn money for his stomach to be fed, for his children to be fed, for his family to be fed. Labor, hunger drives him to labor hard. Proverbs 16:26, the person who labors, labors for himself, for the hungry mouth drives him on. And so when our soul is truly hungry for righteousness, nobody will have to beg you to eat. Nobody has to beg you to read your Bible. Nobody has to beg you to come to church. Nobody has to beg you to spend time in prayer because you're hungry for it. Listen, when somebody is really hungry, you actually have to keep the food away because you'll eat it all. And we must hunger and thirst and for these spiritual things, for these spiritual blessings. The hungry man wants to devour every bite. And in the same way, the believer who is longing for Christ delights to feast without hesitation. Without hesitation. They're the first in church. Without hesitation, at night when they get home from work, even if they're tired, they open their Bibles and they read. and they pray and they share something with their children about the gospel. The soul that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness tastes sweetness in Christ, even if it's in the form of a reproof. The spiritual hunger is marked by delight for the things of God. You see, the things that the heart truly loves will be the things that the heart runs after, that the heart hungers for. If you neglect spiritual things, if you neglect reading God's word, if you only come to church if you feel like it, if you only fellowship with believers if you feel like it, then really, you're not really hungry yet. Because when you are hungry, you won't miss a meal. We need this, and the Puritans used to say, you will make time for what you truly desire. You will make time for that which is precious to you. Absence of hungering for these things is absence of love for God. Now there will be some that hear this and say, oh, Pastor, I'm worried. I know that my spiritual hunger is so weak. I don't really hunger to read my Bible as much as I should. I feel condemned. But the fact is, listen carefully, the fact is that if you are worried, it's a very good sign. It means there is life. When there's an accident on the road, the ambulance arrives, and if the people look dead, the first thing the medics do is they feel for a pulse. And if there's a pulse, they say, revive this person, give them medicine, take care of them. But if there's no pulse, they don't go to the hospital, they go to the morgue. And in the morgue, nobody hungers for anything. But in the hospital, they've got a kitchen and they cook food and they nurse people back to health again. So the fact that even if there's the faintest pulse, the faintest hunger, you're still alive, it's a good sign. You will be revived and you will be made strong. Dead people don't need to be fed. But if you are alive, you need to be fed. Christ will not break a bruised reed. Even if we are bruised, even if we are a smoldering flax, he will not quench us. Christ will never snuff out the faintest spark of life. Why? Well, two reasons. Number one, the spark is of heavenly origin. The spark comes from Christ. It's not man-made. It's God's work. It's ignited by the Holy Spirit. So God will not put out what he ignited. And then the second reason why he will not quench even a faint little spark, because in the midst of a dark and a crooked world, a very cruel world, God's glory and his grace is magnified. He is able to keep the weakest spark alive, even in the darkest hour. Grace is available. And even in the midst of sin and corruption, the least spark of grace is precious. So even if your hunger is very small, even if it's feeble, fear not, the Lord will help you. He will reward you. But remember the importance. Blessed are they that do hunger. If you do not hunger now, you will hunger sadly when it's too late. And you can hunger in hell all you like, but you shall not be filled. We shall be filled now if we hunger, not one day. Better to thirst for righteousness now on earth where grace and mercy is available than to thirst thirst for righteousness in hell, where the drawbridge of mercy has been lifted and there is no more grace. There is no more help. Hunger now. Hunger today. And let me just give you a few things which, it's like a checklist, things that we must see. Why am I not hungering? A checklist that we can ask ourselves some questions, things that we can maybe find helpful to think about. Avoid things that hinder spiritual appetite. Avoid things that hinder spiritual appetite. Ask yourself, what's taking my appetite? What's dulling my appetite for righteousness? Is it the longing of too much worldly entertainment? The constant pull for more? Is it too much self-seeking and self-centered living? What are the things that are robbing me of my hunger for Christ and for His Word? Identify them, confess them, and turn from them. And because nothing else is more important than a soul that hungers for God. Number two, a help to stir up holy desire and hunger that will provoke spiritual appetite. Thomas Watson notes, he says, physical exercise creates hunger. So you know somebody that goes for does a lot of work in the shamba all day, at night they're hungry. And if we do a lot of spiritual exercise, we will have a lot of spiritual hunger. The ones that have no hunger are most likely and never crave for spiritual food. Most likely they are not engaged in much holy activity, not engaged in much spiritual activity. And one of the things that we can do, a simple thing, I know there may be some of us like myself that don't really read much, enjoy reading novels or books. But if you enjoy reading, one of the things you can do is to read a Christian biography. And you read these biographies of these old people that have run the race before us. Oh, how it stirs our soul. We say, how committed they were. Look what they endured. Look how they suffered. Look what they did for the kingdom. And it triggers a hunger in us. And we say, oh, I want to be like that. Oh, I can hardly believe they did so much for the Lord. I need to do more for the Lord. And it triggers a hunger in us. And so it helps to read these things. It helps to read the Bible. Oh, read the Bible. It will create hunger in you. The most unhungry people for spiritual things are people that never open the pages of God's Word. Scripture will stir a holy desire for more within us. Number three, sometimes, it's not a good one, but it's the truth. Sometimes affliction, difficulty, spurs us to seek the Lord, spurs us to hunger for righteousness. Oh, when we face difficulties, oh, we go to the Lord in prayer. Isn't it amazing that when things are going well, we neglect to pray, we forget to pray, but just let difficulty come. Oh, we hit our knees, we pray seriously, we hunger for the things of God. Oh, we should hunger all the time. And the thing is this, is that when we do hunger, we shall be fed to the full. We shall be filled and satisfied. We need to seek the Lord more than anything else in this world. Nothing, you know, you can seek the things of this world, okay? You can, Watson puts it like this, you may cast three worlds into my heart, I shall not be satisfied. You can give three times what the world can offer to me, I shall not be satisfied. only righteousness, only my God will satisfy me. And it's only his righteousness that can fill a hungry and an empty life. God alone is the fountain of life. God alone fills us to overflowing. And he brings satisfaction. He brings peace to every hungry soul. Are you hungering and thirsting? And he looks upon us with compassion. And he wants to fill us with grace. He wants to fill us with peace that comes from Christ. He wants to fill us with blissful joy. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In closing, I want to just say that this work of the Lord working in us, making us saturated, making us complete and whole, that's what he's doing in us. And there's a story of a famous Italian cathedral. And on the roof of this Italian cathedral, there are some life-size statues, beautifully carved. And when you look from the pavement up at the roof, you are amazed at the detail. So this one man wanted to see close up what they really looked like. So he climbed up great heights to the top of the roof. And to his amazement, only the piece that faced the pavement was finished. Behind, they were rough and ugly and unfinished. And that's not what the Lord does. He finishes us all. He gives us righteousness in the innermost parts. We are completely made righteous. We are completely changed. Not just that which man can see, and then we go home and we act like a devil. No, we are totally changed. We are not left some corners that are rough. We hunger to be totally righteous, totally changed, totally saturated with new life. Anything less is mockery and hypocrisy. Now, I close with a few lines. Spiritual hunger is an essential part of our Christian life. Hunger is the mark of a healthy person. Do you know that when somebody is sick, they lose their appetite, they stop eating, you can offer them all kinds of food, they don't eat, but a healthy appetite is a sign of good health. Are you hungry? What are you hungering for? Make a decision today. I will hunger and thirst for righteousness, for that is the only thing that can satisfy. I hunger for the Lord. I hunger for prayer. I hunger for the Word. Lord, I hunger for your face. I hunger and seek you, O Lord. Maybe there's someone amongst us that has never hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Oh, call on his name today, and he will fill you with that which you are looking for. Amen and amen.